Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Andrea Trevenna serves as an Associate Minister for Women at St Nicholas's Church, Sevenoaks in the UK, and has at times struggled with being single. Andrea has now shared what she's learnt about living a full life as a single Christian woman in her book, The Heart of Singleness. While acknowledging that singleness is difficult at times for both men and women, Andrea writes to women in particular, exploring some of the unique struggles of being a single Christian woman. We commence our podcast with Andrea reflecting on the nature of expectation around marriage.
Yes, I think so. And I think that's often an internal thing that we think, when I'm married, then I will be someone. And I think our identity is often very much caught up in that. I know for myself, and that's, you know, a lot of this will be looking back and having that perspective on how I was growing up. But I certainly thought that is what I need, that is what I want, that is what I long for, and that is really what I was made for, to be married and have children, and that is when I will have value, I guess. And I think as a society we just expect people to be married, and that is seen as the norm. And I think we can tend to look at people who are single and think there must be something wrong with them. You know, why? Yeah. Why didn't she get married? Why didn't he get married? What was wrong with them? We know that the Bible says that both marriage and singleness are good. We can very much act as if really singleness is second best and that it isn't a good thing.
In fact, far from being second best, you see singleness as a gift, don't you?
Yes, absolutely. I think, again, that's one of those things that we know the Bible says that. The Bible clearly says that singleness is a gift, but I think we instinctively don't believe that, and we think, well, when Paul writes that, he can't mean what he says, and God can't mean that, and I certainly didn't believe that. And yeah. I think the instinct when we read that is to feel pretty angry and think, well, that's all right for you, you know. If you're not single, you can say that. And if, you know, you're not struggling like me. And I think that's the instinct. And that's certainly what I thought. Okay, well, singleness is a gift for some people, but absolutely not for me. And just that feeling of needing a husband, you know, I need a husband. That is what I need. And I think God is very patient with us, isn't he? And I think it's, yes. It's certainly taken me years to really believe that God knows what's best for me. And I think just learning to trust God and knowing that he knows me, he made me, he loves me, and he knows what's best for me. And if having a husband is best for me, then he will give me one. And if it's not, then I can trust that he knows what's best and he is good.
Andrea, it strikes me that the mathematics around our net worth needs to be solved, whether we're single, whether we're inside a relationship, or whether we're male or female, that we are worthwhile outside of who our friends, who our family are.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's where the Lord has certainly been very kind to me in giving me very good Christian married friends who have been very open and honest with me and help me to see up close that, you know, marriage is hard, that marriage is wonderful, but marriage is hard. And I guess we have an ideal of what a husband will be like, and I certainly had this ideal of a man who would be patient and kind and loving and supportive and strong and gentle and sensitive, and thought, like, this is what a husband will be like. And I've, you know, met a few men like that, but obviously the closer you get to them, the more you realize that there's no man and no woman who's perfect, and those flaws are there. And I think the danger is, and certainly this is what I did, I looked for a relationship with a man who would be my savior, really. I think I'd really made an idol of a husband, and I think that is the danger that so many Christian women do. We put all the weight of our hopes and our expectations and our dreams on a man. I've certainly met, you know, quite a lot of women who have gone into a marriage with that expectation and been looking to their husband rather than looking to the Lord Jesus, rather than having the Lord Jesus at the center of the relationship and recognizing that a marriage is two sinful people who are wanting to, you know, come together with Jesus at the center rather than looking to the other one to be their all in all. And that's certainly where I was when I was looking for a husband, expecting and hoping and wanting him to be my saviour and my security and my all in all. And I think, sadly, I've seen, you know, a number of Christian marriages break down and fall apart because of that expectation, and because there hasn't been that solid foundation of Jesus being their all in all and being the one who they know is their saviour.
Turning to the practicalities, though, of singleness, Andrea, it's hard to celebrate it when the world's been built by couples for couples. I'm thinking of something as innocuous as a wedding invitation. Andrea plus one, what more visceral reminder could there be that you're alone? What do you do to deal with these moments?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that is hard. I think there are certainly particular times when that's very difficult. And I think you're right, going to things on your own, walking in on your own.
Yeah.
Things like weddings are very difficult. And I think those are the times particularly when we can end up listening to the devil whispering in our ear, listening to our hearts, deceiving us, telling us that, you know, this isn't right, God's not good, this isn't how it was meant to be. And those can be the times when we feel that we don't fit in, that there's something wrong with us. And, yeah, it is hard. And I think it's good for us to preempt those times. I've certainly thought after I've been to something where it's been a real struggle that I should have expected that to be hard and preempted it. And so now I try and, you know, pray ahead of those times and ask others to pray for me, but also to be telling my heart truths, because I naturally will listen to the lies at those times, that there's something wrong with me and nobody would want me, and, you know, all those things that aren't helpful and aren't good.
Andrea, Paul is often cited as the go-to guy in the Bible for the proof that singledom is okay, but Paul's a dude. As a women's pastor, where do you take women to in the Bible to show that singledom is not only a calling but a blessing for some?
Yeah, I think, you know, I used to think, well, let's look at the bits the Bible talks about singleness. But I think, you know, just go to the gospel. I think that's the thing, isn't it? That we need to see that we are precious and valued and loved, not because we're married or single, but because the Lord Jesus has died for us and done everything to bring us to him. And I think that is the thing that we need. We need the gospel. We need to see what the Lord has done for us, and that is the thing that will melt my heart. That is the thing that will enable me to trust the Lord, to know that he loves me, he knows what's best for me, he knows what's good for me. So you know, I found that just reading, you know, reading through the Gospels, reading through the crucifixion, that Jesus's death and resurrection and what he's done for me and how much he loves me is the thing that enables me to just marvel at how much he's loved me, and to know that I can trust him with the circumstances of my life. I think some of the Psalms have been a real help, just that we can pour our hearts out to the Lord when we're in pain and struggling, and that's helped me rather than turn away from God in anger when I'm feeling, you know, that pain of being on my own, that I can just pour my heart out to him and know that he knows and he cares. Because I think our instinct is to, when we're feeling sad and hurt, is to harden our hearts towards the Lord and turn away from him. So I think some of the Psalms are really helpful. But I think rather than just looking at what the Bible says about marriage and singleness, which can be helpful to think things through, that the gospel is what we need. And there's just some wonderful, rich passages in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, and also in some of Paul's letters, just seeing what the Lord Jesus has done for us and what it means that we're his, that we've been redeemed, that we've been brought from death to light, and seeing that big picture. And I think Philippians has been really helpful to me as well, seeing Paul talk about finding the secret of contentment. And I think we think the secret of contentment is found in our circumstances, and particularly as single Christian women, that we think the husband is the thing that will give us joy and peace. But Paul writes that letter from prison, and yet the joy that he has is in his relationship with the Lord, and that in prison he's able to have opportunities to talk about the Lord Jesus. Therefore, he rejoices. And it was a wonderful blessing to me to discover Philippians, I think, when I was really struggling, and to marvel at the fact that the secret of contentment is not in our circumstances, but in our relationship with the Lord, and to really come to believe that and know it to be true. I think that's the thing. When we take the Lord at his word and when we trust him, he's no man's debtor, and he will give us what we need. And as we trust him and look to him and really believe that, he will give us joy in it. And I think that's the thing that has amazed me most, the joy that the Lord has given me in surprising places.
Andrea, if we turn to the role of friends and family in the life of our singles, what can we do that's helpful, aside from suck them into a vortex of one blind date after another?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the thing is that there can be a temptation to think, you know, what a single person needs is a husband, and I will help them with that. Whereas what I think all of us need to think, whether we're single or married, is what all of us need is to be looking to the Lord Jesus and trusting him and growing in our relationship with him. So I've been enormously grateful to married friends who have sought to encourage me in my relationship with the Lord, and they've seen that as the thing that I need rather than a husband, because that is the truth. That is what I need. And I think I would encourage married people to not see single people as having a problem. I think some single people are content in their singleness, which is wonderful, so you can encourage them in that. And some single people are not content in their singleness, and what they need is for you to encourage them to look to the Lord and to see their relationship with him as the thing that is going to bring them the joy and contentment that they long for, rather than sort of encouraging them down the line of, yes, what you need is a husband, and I will do everything to help you find him. Now, I do appreciate that that is hard for married people, that single people who are not content in their singleness can be very defensive, and we can be very prickly and, well, it's all right for you, you're married, you don't know. But actually, to really love our single friends, I think perpetuating that lie that, yes, a husband is what you need and he is going to bring you the satisfaction you long for, and encouraging single people to go down that line is going to just lead to potentially an unhappy marriage if we're thinking that that is the thing that will give us the contentment in our hearts. So I think, yeah, do invite single people round and do share your lives with them, but don't do it in a way that is just always trying to focus on fixing them up with someone, or talking about, or have you met anyone yet, and all those things that just focus on the potential husband. I think some married people are frightened to invite single people round or involve them when there's other married couples there, because they think, oh, maybe they're going to find it hard. But just to not treat single people as if they're any different, and make it as easy as possible. And I think that's what I valued in good friends, that it's just been like being part of the family. And I don't really notice with good friends that I'm single and they're married anymore. And I think I've been particularly grateful for married couples where the husband has just been like a real brother and been able to, you know, be very relaxed with me and tease me, and not about being single, but just...
Yeah.
Be like a brother, do you know what I mean? And
yep.
I think I'm hugely grateful for those friendships where I just feel like one of the family, and especially, you know, being able to be involved in the children's lives as well and be like an auntie and just have those precious times with children as well. I'm enormously grateful to the Lord for giving me precious friendships like that.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.